space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 25th of March 2019. I hope you're all keeping very well and you all had a great weekend. My name is Neil De Silva, and for the next hour, I'm going to take you through the Health Matters Radio Show, which talks about health-related topics. And the idea of the show is that the information we give you might be able to help you to improve your own health. So a quick disclaimer before we start. The purpose of the show is, as I mentioned, to help to educate and inform you in ways that you could improve your own health. But this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All the content is provided for general information only, and I do encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience and my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the application of or use of the content of the show. So that's that out of the way. What have we got ahead of you this morning? We're going to talk about artificial sweeteners in a moment, because there is an influx of artificially sweetened products on the market. And we're going to go through what they are and potentially some of the dangers to artificial sweeteners. And then towards the end of the show, we're going to have a chat about stress. We're going to continue the discussion on stress that we started last week. And in the middle, we have our special guest interview. And today we have Janet Blake, who is a holistic therapist. Hello, Janet.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. A bit nervous, but fine.
you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And we're going to find out more about what Janet does in about 20 minutes or so. So some quick reminders of the show's social media feed. And on Twitter, you can tweet at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, you can search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can follow the show's Facebook page. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows on the show's iTunes podcast feed as well. Just go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show. And as always, if you'd like to contact me away from social media, more privately and personally, then just use the contact page on my website. So, sweeteners. We all know the dangers of sugar. And for those of you that know me, you know that I'm a type 2 diabetes specialist. And the dangers of sugar are fairly well publicised. I think that's probably an understatement. But the problem is people are now switching to artificial sweeteners because they think with zero calories and no sugar, it's a smarter choice. It's a bit of a no-brainer, really. When you think that the average can of sugar-sweetened fizzy drink is about 150 calories, and pretty much all those calories come from sugar, then switching to a zero-calorie alternative is the smart thing to do. And it's interesting because the government and various diabetes associations have kind of given a bit of a cautious nod to the use of artificial sweeteners to replace sugar, particularly to combat things like obesity, metabolic syndrome and diabetes. And all those things are risk factors for heart disease. But they're not magic bullets, okay? So just lowering the amount of calories that you consume doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lower your risk of heart disease and diabetes. So sweeteners were designed to be the sugar substitutes, and they've been around for a long time. There's a few new ones that have come on the market in recent years, but artificial sweeteners have been around for quite a long time, and people have been consuming them for quite a long time. But obesity is on the increase, and type 2 diabetes around the world has increased as well, exponentially. So I'd argue that the use of artificial sweeteners for their original use, which was to help fight weight gain and to combat type 2 diabetes, I'd argue that artificial sweeteners really haven't worked. But we are still convinced that because it says green on the label and it has no sugar and very few or less calories than if there was sugar in the product, that we think it's a healthy alternative. Now, there are some research studies that have shown that use of artificial sweeteners can actually be toxic to the body. And with anything, it's not just about consuming artificial sweeteners and reducing weight. It's actually looking a little bit deeper and saying, well, actually, if there's no sugar in it and we're consuming these sweeteners, what damage can they do to the body? So there's a lot of sweeteners on the market, and some names are roll off now. I'm sure some of you will recognise it. So we have saccharin, we have acesulfame potassium, which is commonly called acesulfame K. We have aspartame or whatever you want to call it. People call it very different names. And we also have sucralose. A new kid on the block in recent years has been stevia. And stevia is a sweetener that comes from a plant, and it's marketed as being natural. But I'll cover perhaps stevia on a different show, but it's not quite as natural as we would like to think it is, and it's often highly processed. But the big issue is how the body and the brain responds to these sweeteners, and this process is very, very complex. One of the things that people that take artificially sweetened products do is they tend to replace the calories through other sources. So what I mean by that is someone will have a diet drink and go, well, it's got no calories in it, I'll have a piece of cake, or I'll have a bar of chocolate. So there's this mentality that because we're consuming something with zero calories, that we can offset that with something that's unhealthy. And it's been proven that these artificially sweetened products also change the way that we taste food. So just a small amount of artificial sweeteners are very, very sweet. But obviously, much sweeter than table sugar pound for pound. But what they do is they can overstimulate the sugar receptors from this frequent use of all these artificial sweeteners. And these hyper-intense sweeteners might limit the tolerance or our tolerance for more complex tastes. So what that means is people who routinely use artificial sweeteners might start to find that less intensely sweet foods, such as fruit, or vegetables, become actually unpalatable, and it makes you crave sweeter things, and sweeter things will tend to have more sweeteners in them, or they will tend to have sugar in them. And there's actually research that has shown that people that consume a lot of sweeteners tend to eat less nutritious foods. One of the things that is also a problem as well is not just the way that these respond to that sweeteners affect blood sugar, but also it's about insulin as well. Okay, so insulin is a big issue when it comes to diabetes. It's also a big issue when it comes to weight gain. And just because they've got no sugar in them doesn't mean that they don't affect insulin levels. And it's been proven that these sweeteners do actually stimulate insulin levels, which can also cause other problems as well. There was another interesting study. It was an animal study with rats, and they were exposed to intravenous cocaine and also oral saccharin. So they were doing tests on how addictive these drinks were, these diet drinks in particular. And actually, it's been proven that these rats were actually preferred the saccharin over the cocaine. So if you are consuming diet drinks, you need to consider the fact that it's not just about having no calories and no sugar. These are actually extremely addictive substances. So if you think, actually, I'll just stop drinking them, don't be so sure, because it's been proven that they are really, really addictive. And we'll come back to stevia for a moment. Okay, so as I mentioned, stevia is this natural sweetener that comes from the leaves of the plant, but it gets highly processed. So when we consume stevia, the body assumes that it's receiving sugar, and it actually sets up the metabolic processes to be able to metabolize the sugar that it thinks it's going to get because it's been stimulated by our taste buds. So glucose is often cleared from the bloodstream and the blood sugars drop, but there is no sugar to compensate. So what happens then is adrenaline and cortisol get released to mobilize sugar from other sources to bring the blood glucose back up. And that's a particularly natural process. That's our fight or flight response to stress. But the problem is if you're consuming lots of products with artificial sweeteners in and you're continually having this mild state of hypoglycemia, that then we release adrenaline and cortisol to bring it back up, then that continual process of stressing the adrenal glands can actually do a lot of damage to the adrenal glands themselves, and they can have a massive effect on our health. And some of the consequences of this continually stressing the adrenal glands is things like a suppressed immune system, increased inflammation, weight gain, and it can also really affect thyroid function as well. So there's a lot of issues to take into account. As I said, it's not just about having no calories and no sugar. And it has actually been proven now without doubt that artificial sweeteners do contribute to weight gain. There were some early studies, and most of the long-term studies were sponsored by the companies producing the products in the first place. And surprise, surprise, they showed no correlation between artificial sweeteners and weight gain. But the independent studies since have actually proven that consumption of artificial sweeteners do contribute to weight gain, as well as things like hypertension, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular events. So there is no clear research that there is a benefit to consuming artificially sweetened products. And actually, there's a lot of research that has said that there's evidence of potential harm for the long-term consumption of these sweeteners. And this is a problem because there's a lot of products on the market, particularly processed foods, that have artificial sweeteners in them. So what can you do? Well, you need to start looking at food labels, because there was another research study that that showed that people who actually said that they weren't consuming artificial sweeteners, when they had blood tests done and urine tests done, there were traces of sweeteners in their blood and urine. And yet they claimed to not be consuming artificial sweeteners. So it's in a lot of the food that we consume these days. It goes under lots of different names. And the four really dangerous ones are saccharin, a sulfamine potassium or a sulfamine K, aspartame, and sucralose. Okay, so these are the most dangerous ones to look out for. Sucralose, because it is chlorinated sugar. And they chlorinate it to chemically change the structure of the sugar molecules. And there are no long-term studies on the effects of sucralose to the body. And in fact, a lot of the studies were based on really, really small samples over quite a short space of time. I think one of them was actually based on consuming 2 cans of drink a day. Now, I know people that do 2 cans of drink an hour. So it wasn't a real-life study. And also the other one is aspartame or aspartame, however you want to call it. Aspartame is a known toxic and it's also a known neurotoxin as well. And in fact, there was a publication called, I think it was called Flying Safety. It was published by the United States Air Force. And U.S. Air Force pilots during the Gulf War were warned not to consume any products with aspartame in it because, and this is to quote them, aspartame has been investigated as a possible cause of brain tumors, mental retardation, birth defects, epilepsy, Parkinson's disease, fibromyalgia, and diabetes. So this is a product that's safe, apparently safe, to use on the rest of us. It's approved by the government. It's approved by the health authorities. But the US Air Force told their pilots not to consume it. So you can draw your own conclusions from that. So just to give you a quick reminder of these toxins. So aspartame, A sulfamica, saccharin or sucralose is not particularly good, and stevia as well. Again, please do your own research. Start reading food labels. If you feel the need to sweeten your drinks or your food, then a small amount of organic honey, I'd argue, is better. But, you know, the key is try to change the that dependence on having sweet things. Try to cut down on these sweetened drinks, these sweetened products even, and then try to cut them out, okay? So the biggest objection to not cutting down on sugar or sweeteners is just down to taste. But if you do it slowly over weeks or maybe months, you can go from being dependent on these to actually cutting them out altogether, and that is a much better strategy. And also watch out for things that are labelled as being low calorie or fat free or diet this or diet that or sugar free or no added sugars, because that isn't always an indication that those products are healthy. So as I mentioned, I will cover stevia on a future show, but hopefully that's given you some information there to make you think about what you're eating. As I said, just because something's not got sugar in it and it's got zero calories, it does not mean that it's healthy. But again, I do encourage you to do your own research. So after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Janet. But to take us there, we have a classic from Marvin Gaye.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can come.
That was Marvin Gaye and What's Going On. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 25th of March, 2019. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, you can tweet at Health Radio Show. You can drop me a tweet and follow the feed. On Facebook, you can search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can follow the show's Facebook page and you can like it. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you can also listen again on iTunes. Go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show and all previous shows are there on the show's podcast. So on to our guest interview. Today we have Janet Blake, and Janet is a holistic therapist. I'm going to find out more about Janet's background, how she got into doing what she's doing, and how what she does might be able to help you. So good morning, Janet, and how are you this morning?
Hello, I'm fine, thanks.
You're not nervous at all, are you?
No, I've taken rescue remedy.
You'll be absolutely fine. But it's great to have you on the show this morning.
And thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So Janet, let's start at the beginning. Before we go and talk about what you're doing now, let's talk about your background and really your journey, how you got into doing what you're doing today.
Well, when I was 4 years old, my brother was only 6 months old, and he was in his cot, and I had my nurse's uniform on. Okay. And Mum took a photograph of me, and I knew then I was going to become a nurse. Wow. So all through the years, I went to St. John's for 8 years, right. And then I went into college to learn a pre-nursing course, mm-hmm. And then I went into nursing. I didn't finish my training because I married halfway through and I had a family, so they came first. But all through the years, I have actually done nursing and caring. I've worked with palliative end of life, trauma. I've worked in every sort of field of the nursing
spectrum.
Yeah, I really have. Wow. And I enjoyed it.
So when we talk about nursing now, are we talking about nursing as we would normally think of it, in a ward?
Yes, in general nursing, a hospital? Yes, yes. I've worked on all the wards. The only places I haven't worked is theatre through my choice.
Okay.
I wanted to work in A&E because it was the thrill of someone coming in and you were able to help that person or that patient to get better or put them on to, you know, to go to theatre for.
As opposed to just fixing them up quickly to stop them dying in A&E.
Yes, yes, yes. And I didn't want to work in the baby units, PAD or anything like that.
Okay.
But I've done everything else, dementia, Alzheimer's. It's such a wide spectrum that I worked in.
Sounds really interesting.
Yes.
So what was the most challenging role within nursing that you experienced?
I think it's dealing with someone who has had or suffered with dementia.
Right.
Because that part of them has gone. And there are some flashbacks of what they used to be. And it's their families that it strikes with them because of they in a way that they've lost part of their mother, brother, father, or part of that person.
Yeah.
And if they don't recognise that person, it's very heartbreaking for them. And it's very difficult to deal with in that way.
Mm.
And so it's important that they talk to family or to a very dear friend or to a therapist, which is what I do with my batch remedies, because I help them. I make up their batch remedies for them to help them overcome such a not very nice experience, really.
It must be very hard to deal with. I can't imagine what it's like to be physically with a relative and you know them, but they see you as a stranger, or they certainly don't recognise you as a relative of theirs.
Yes, which is what happened with my dad, my dear dad, because he just had dementia. He didn't have Alzheimer's.
Right.
But he, thank goodness he recognised me, but there were other things that he couldn't do
mm-hmm.
or he didn't recognise. He didn't know the time of day, date yeah. or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I had some time with him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and so just to clarify the point there, dementia is the umbrella terminology, isn't it? And within that umbrella terminology, there are many, many different types of dementia, Alzheimer's yes. being one of them, yeah. vascular dementia being another. I can't name any more.
No, but there's quite a few, but it does come under the same umbrella.
And they all affect the body, the brain in slightly different ways. Some
yes,
are,
they do.
Some are gradual declines and some are quite rapid declines,
that's
aren't
they? That's right, yes, yes. Yeah. But I do feel that those who love their family, that they can actually find somebody to help and talk to them
yeah.
about it, because that does help. You may not think so, but it does. Yeah. In the long run, it does.
And I have the utmost respect. 37 years in nursing. Wow. And I bet during that time you saw a huge amount of changes within that sector.
Oh, absolutely.
And probably not all for the better, I would argue.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But the nursing skills of all the doctors and the nurses are brilliant. They do an extremely hard-pressing job
mm-hmm.
and it's important that we all respect what they do, because they're human, they have families, they have problems, so it's important to make sure that they're okay as well.
Definitely.
So that's why I have the nursing profession come to me for their treatments.
Wow. So let's fast forward a little bit. So as I mentioned, 37 years in nursing, a huge amount of nursing experience. Tell me what happened in 1989.
My whole life changed completely, utterly, and I was absolutely bereft, shall we say. Such trauma happened in my personal life. And it was through working in the health shop that I noticed that we sold batch remedies, didn't understand what they were or anything. But I was actually drawn to some of them. And when I had Holly, I kept having Holly, and I thought, why do I need that? Well, it's for anger.
Okay.
And that sort of thing. And in the end, I thought, well, if these remedies can help me, they can help other people. So I actually went and did the course. Mm-hmm. So I'm now a recognised batch practitioner. And
so that's B-A-C-H.
That's right. Batch. For Batch. Not Bark.
Bark, yeah.
No, Dr. Edward Batch.
Okay. Okay.
So, and I went up to Oxfordshire to do my training, and then I had to do case studies to prove that I could do and look after my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 29 years ago.
Yeah, it's quite scary how time flies, isn't it?
Yes.
So yeah. How was the training? Was it
was lovely.
Was it quite intense? Was it over
yes.
a long period of time?
Yes, it was. Well, it was 6 months training,
mm-hmm.
and it was intense. But going back 29 years ago, it's a bit of a blur. But I actually went to Mount Vernon in Sotwell,
mm-hmm.
where Dr. Edward Batch had his house.
Okay,
and that is now the training room. And most of the flowers that are used in the batch remedies are in his garden.
Right.
And they are picked and to make the remedies. And it's Nelson's who's got the rights to them at the moment.
Right.
Well, not rights, but they actually they deal with them.
So they call the product. Let's talk a little bit about these remedies then. Let's just explain to the listeners really what they are and the kind of things that they can help with.
Right. Well, I'm sure most of you who may know or seen in chemists and in health shops, Rescue Remedy.
Mm.
That's really a good all-rounder. So if you're taking exams, driving, traumatic, going on air,
yeah.
or you're having a really bad day, or you're going to have a child, baby, and you're all over the place,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that, you can take batch remedies.
Okay.
You can actually take Rescue Remedy. It is safe. Even if you're taking medication, it's fine. You can still take the batch remedies. And also, it just helps you in your everyday life, and that's what Dr. Batch wanted, for you to use them so that it helps you. There are 38 type remedies, and they treat over 75 million emotions, shall we say. Mm-hmm. That's just a 75 is just a number, but yeah. it treats all emotions. And if you take the wrong remedy, it doesn't matter because it won't harm you. They're okay. All natural.
Okay. So tell me more about Reiki.
Reiki. Well, I am a Reiki master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back in the 1990-91 that I had back problems. And someone gave me a Reiki. I thought, this was a bit strange. No, didn't know anything about it at all. So I thought, this is nice. And I thought, I could never learn that. That's, it's a bit way out of my league. You know, Reiki found me. And I actually did my Reiki 1.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, I did my Reiki 2. And then in 2000, I was offered the Reiki Masters and I turned it down because I didn't feel that I deserved it, or I didn't want to, I couldn't do it.
Okay, so for people that don't know what a Reiki Master is.
Reiki Master is where you can tune and teach people about Reiki.
Right.
So it's self-healing and you can help those to heal themselves. You do not heal anybody. We cannot heal each other. We can only be used as a catalyst.
Okay.
For that person to heal themselves.
Okay.
So you'll only take on board what you want.
Right.
So, and I have actually used it on broken bones, and they've healed quicker. Now, because they heal quicker doesn't mean to say you're not going to be in pain. You will be in pain or some discomfort because the healing process has been speeded up.
Okay.
So you can do it on animals, on a car battery, which I've done, believe it or not.
Okay.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And also plants, anything like that. You can use Reiki on anything. But it's really, I use it for my clients that come to me, and it's soothing and relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And you just lay on the couch with a blanket over you, don't get undressed, and usually my hands get very hot, and I get really hot. It's like having a hot flush. and then you can pick up all sorts of things of that person that's receiving the Reiki, and usually everybody goes to sleep, and then when it's finished, they say, is it over?
So in your quest for continued knowledge, you also trained as an aromatherapist and also in reflexology as well?
Yes. I learnt reflexology because my daughter, going back many years now, as a Mother's Day present, she gave me a book on reflexology. And when I looked at it, I thought, that's nice. And then I saw a picture of the feet in different colours. Every part of the foot was had a different colour in certain areas. That looks too complicated to me. Anyway, I don't know how it happened, but I signed up at the college in Folkestone and I did the reflexology. And it was over a year's training.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do at least 6 months clients to before I could become a fully qualified member of the a Reflexology Association before they would even accept. Actually, I had 100 clients I had to do, so that's an awful lot of studying and that.
Yeah.
And it's just so wonderful because you can pick up, because I've been doing it a long time now, you can pick up a lot about a person, about the traumas they've had in their life, and each and every single crease in the foot and the toes and tell you a story about that person. It's not frightening. It's just because I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I get to know that person. And if they say, I have to laugh because we have to say, do you suffer with constipation? And they'll say, no. I thought, it's all right, I'll find out.
Yeah,
you haven't
yeah.
told me the truth, because I shall find out because of the way
yeah.
your foot tells me a story.
Oh,
and
wow.
you can tell also sometimes if anybody is having their menses, or they've had operations or hysterectomy or anything like that, you can usually tell by just touching the feet.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I have one very dear lady. She suffers with lymphedema.
Mm-hmm.
So about 18 years, she's been coming to me for about 18 years now.
So just explain for a moment what that is.
Right, lymphedema is where the lymph glands underneath the arms have been removed because mm-hmm. it's cancer. They mm-hmm. have cancer. So lymphedema means that their arm swells up okay. and they cannot get rid of the lymph.
The fluid.
Lymph, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So what happens is that I actually went on a course to learn how to do indirect lymphatic drainage on the feet
mm-hmm.
with success. And it's recognised by the Lymphedema Association as well. So this lady has been coming to me all these years. It doesn't cure. It just helps to control the actual swelling.
Mm-hmm.
And she has good days and bad days. And, you know, it's not a quick fix. It's going to be there forever, but at least she's in good health and she thoroughly enjoys her treatment. But afterwards, she usually has a cup of coffee. I don't usually have water. We usually have tea or coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I do it my way, how I look after my clients. And very often she says, well, Jan, guess what happened last night? I sat on the loo. She wheezes for England. And that's good, because that's getting rid of the fluid. It's getting rid of all the it's just getting rid of all the excess fluid in your body.
Mm.
So that it's really good. So she's coming next week, actually, for a treatment.
Okay. Excellent. So in addition to helping people with lymphedema, you can also help people with other conditions, back pain,
yes.
trauma, that sort of thing?
Yes, yes. I actually went and did more courses to learn how to help those with back pain, severe back pain and that. And it's just by working on the feet. It's called vertical reflex therapy.
Mm.
So you actually stand up, and I work on certain areas on your feet for about a couple of minutes. And then we do conventional reflexology, especially with sciatic pain and all that sort of thing. I'm not saying that I could cure, because that's not what I'm there to do. I'm there to help to relieve the aches and pains.
Yeah.
So it does help. And also digestive problems as well. I went and did some more training on how to do the synergistic movements on the feet
mm-hmm.
to help with digestive problems as well. And that's quite interesting, because you have to stand on tiptoe while I do your feet for a few minutes.
Yeah.
It's not uncomfortable. You hang on to the couch or something like that, and
yeah.
then you go back to ordinary reflexology.
And you can also help with conditions like depression as well?
Yes, definitely, yes, because that is part of the synergistic movements as well,
yeah.
by working on the feet while you're standing up.
And I think that's the important thing is helping the whole person, not
Absolutely.
Just you know, we were talking about pharmaceutical drugs during the break, and we're not going to touch on that today, but you know, pharmaceutical drugs, you know, while sometimes they can be lifesavers, they often deal with the symptom. They very rarely deal with the cause.
That's right. We holistic therapists, as we like to be known as, mm-hmm. is that we treat the whole body.
Yeah.
Because you could have a finger ache, but really it's in your big toe. That's the problem.
Mm.
I'm just giving you just
yeah.
a silly
yeah.
example. But not until you come for a consultation, and then we decide on what treatment that would best suit you, then that's how the best way forward to go with your treatments. And the reason why I learned how to do reflexology, aromatherapy, Reiki. There are those who can't have enough contraindications that wouldn't be allowed to have that. So therefore, Reiki is safe, so we can do that. And if you come to me for reflexology, you get three treatments in one because you get Reiki and I use essential oils that I make up a blend, especially for that particular treatment.
Yeah.
And then you get reflexology. So you get three treatments in one.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I'm hoping one day you write a book about your life experiences because, I mean, just to go over this, you was a nurse for 37 years, general nurse in trauma, end of life, palliative care, dementia, Alzheimer's. You're an expert. You've got skills in Reiki, reflexology. I mean, you've done so much.
And also crystal healing. I cannot tell you. I know this is something a bit people might think it's a bit of a woo-woo. That's what... it's not. You cannot use... I mean, crystals we use every day.
Yeah.
Salt and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And our bodies are made of crystals because you have gallstones, kidney stones, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When your urine dries, it goes into crystals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all part of crystals. And also, your phones wouldn't work. Lasers, beams wouldn't work. Your laptops and computers wouldn't work because it's all to do with crystals.
Interesting stuff. So Janet, what sort of clients are you looking for? People that are listening to this to the show today. What conditions particularly would you be looking to help people with?
Well, I would like people to come to me who feel that they would feel comfortable coming to me and to help whatever they may have they're not right with or they need help with. Because if I cannot help them, I can put them in the right direction with who could help them, because I belong to the Therapist Network. And it was founded by Linda Bishop. And all the therapists, we all usually work on our own, you see. So we don't usually have contact with anybody else. But here, with the Therapist Network, which has been really helpful for me, is that you help and support each other. You get to know each other. And then perhaps someone does psychology or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I cannot help in that area, but I know somebody who can.
You get to know each other's skill sets, so you can refer to people.
Yes, and it's in a safe environment, and you know that they'll be safe. That person will be safe.
Excellent. So how do people get hold of you? What's your best points of, or your preferred points of contact?
Well, I haven't got a web, because I've taken a sabbatical for nearly a year because of personal, because I lost my husband 10 months ago. I thought this is what I do. If I don't do my treatments, my therapist might not be here, because it's me. This is what I do. And I absolutely love and have a passion for doing
that
these
passion
treatments.
Does come across. It really does.
Thank you. And I just feel that I've looked after my parents for many years, and now it's time to... with all my studying and with everything that I do, now's the time to help those who need help and who want to come to me. And I have a treatment room at home, and you can get me on Facebook or on my mobile number. And I'm in the process of getting a web page at the moment.
Okay. Did you want to mention your mobile number?
Right. My mobile number is 078-669-48334. So that's 078-669-48334.
And on Facebook, people can search Janet Blake
Holistic Therapist, yes.
And they'll be able to contact you through social media.
Yes, yeah.
Brilliant. And lastly, give us this interesting fact from 1970. What?
You would? Oh dear!
Unless you don't want to.
No, it's fine.
I thought it was quite interesting.
Well, in 1970, I was crowned Miss Selinge by Graham Hill,
the one and only Graham Hill,
and he was such a lovely man.
Yeah,
he really was. I was 17 at the time.
Wow. How time flies, eh?
I know.
But Graham Hill, fantastic. And what a gent and what a driver.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Loved it. Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Janet. I know you were nervous. I think you're really well, and
that
passion that you've got for what you do and the experience is fantastic, but that passion really, really does come across.
Thank you.
And I'll pop your details when I do some post promotion for today's show. I'll pop your contact details up on social media too for you.
That'd be fabulous. Thank you.
It's been great to have you. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
After the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about stress, but to take us there, we have a classic from the 80s. That was Huey Lewis and the News, The Power of Love, from Back to the Future, back from, I think, 1984, 1985. How time flies. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 25th of March, 2019. If you'd like to get in contact with the show via Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, it's the Health Matters Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and all previous 55 shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or on the show's iTunes podcast. So we're going to wrap up the show in about 5 minutes or so. But last week we touched on the subject of stress. Now, life is full of demands, and I don't think, hand on heart, that there's anyone that I've ever met that doesn't suffer with stress of some description. But stress isn't always bad. It can help to motivate you. It can help you to perform under pressure. But the danger comes when we live in a perpetual state of stress or emergency, and your mind and your body can start to pay the price of being consistently out of balance. And this might manifest in ways, for example, like headaches or irritability or disruptive sleep patterns or tiredness or maybe digestive issues. The key is that if you are under constant stress, is picking up these warning signs, because it's your body's way of telling you to slow down and find a way to deal with stress. And there's lots of ways that you can deal with stress and anxiety. You can go and see a therapist. You can go and see a specialist. You can do meditation and mindfulness, and these things are all great. I'm going to give you some tips in a moment as to ways that you could also manage it on a day-to-day basis yourself as well. So the difference between stress and anxiety is stress is just a normal physical response when we're faced with challenges. Anxiety is consistent stress and consistent fear. And sometimes it can occur for no reason. And in some, for some people, this worry, this anxiety can become really overwhelming, and it can disrupt their quality of life, which then can lead on to other serious issues as well. So when it comes to our body, we get these headaches, we get these muscle tensions, we get pain, we get fatigue. It can affect our libido. It can affect our sleep, as I mentioned. It can affect our immune system, and we can get frequently ill. It can also affect our emotions and our behaviours as well. So we can get this restlessness. We can have a lack of motivation. We can become irritable or angry really easily. We can become forgetful. We can become sad. We can become depressed. We can feel overwhelmed. We can feel insecure. And these things can also lead to things like overeating and undereating. It can lead to substance abuse, alcohol abuse. It can make us withdraw from our social circles, from our friends and our family. It can also lead to relationship conflicts as well. And it can also lead to avoidance of dealing with these issues and procrastination. So the effect of the stress or constant stress and anxiety is actually really damaging, not just to our mind and to our body, but also to relationships with people around us as well. There's a few tips that you might want to consider to maybe help you to deal with the stress that you face on a daily basis. So the first thing is to get enough sleep. That's a given, which is easier said than done, I fully appreciate. But a good quality and a good amount of sleep every night can really help you in your mind to deal with the stress that you face on a daily basis. Eating a healthy diet is important. Sugar and processed foods, well, I mean, that's a bit of a given. They can make stress worse, particularly sugar. And then obviously we mentioned the effect on the brain of sweeteners as well. So maybe just cut out the junk food. Regular exercise has been shown to help. Paying attention to the way that you talk to yourself, your internal talk and your negative self-talk. Try to find ways to be a better friend to yourself, to improve your self-talk. Meditation, I'm a great believer in meditation. Mindfulness-based meditation can be a great way to deal with day-to-day stresses. Practice saying no. In certain situations, if you're quite a yes person and you're quite a people pleaser, then being able to say no to certain situations can remove some stress from your life. Massage is good. Talking with people is also good. Talking with people that we trust. Limiting caffeine intake and also limiting or avoiding alcohol or other drugs as a stress dependency or stress coping mechanism can help as well. Managing our time, managing our energy, prioritizing our to-do list, based not only on time, but also the energy we have for those particular tasks. Laughing's good. Laughing is a great medicine. Or you can try things like yoga or all those other practices. And also take some time out for yourself. We're so wrapped up in our work these days that just taking time for us, for relaxation, for fun, for family, for hobbies can also help. As I mentioned, if you feel that stress is really overwhelming, then perhaps you do need to see a specialist, whether that's a therapist or whether you talk to your doctor. There are people out there that can help you to manage this this stress and the anxiety that goes along with it. So hopefully you found that helpful. I'd like to thank Janet again for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
It's been great to have you on the show. And as I mentioned in the show's post-promotion, I will put Janet's contact details up on social media as well. Our next week's show on the 1st of April, we have Anita McAllaron. She's going to be coming on the show talking about what she does. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in contact with me, please do so through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can drop me a message through my website. You can also contact the show via the social media links. In the meantime, if you have any questions, and again, you can listen to this show and all previous shows via the show's iTunes podcast, and also on the media page of my website. And if you're listening and you're a therapist or you work in the health and wellness industry, and like Janet, you fancy coming on the show and just talking about what you do to the show's listeners, then please contact me via my website and we'll see about getting you onto a future show. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until the same time next week, have a great week ahead. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I will catch you in 7 days.
The heart is a blue. Take you out of this place. Someone